that the room is not getting emptier, so people are still coming back and want more. That's a very good signal. I'm very happy for that. So this morning we've heard about, when we talked about the challenges of country coordinating, we've heard about the motivations of hospital coordinators to join the project. And the first motivation was getting data on benchmarking, and the second was getting tools to improve quality management systems. And this is what I've tried to cover in this talk. And I will talk more at a practical level. I'm promising you no more statistics. I think we've taken in probably enough data. And now we need to think a bit, okay, what can we do with the data, and what guidance can we give to hospitals? So the overall aim of the project, as was repeatedly said this morning, is that we want to give guidance to hospitals, to purchasers, to professionals. And you've seen so far presentations on all these constructs, on the process, on the analysis, on the robustness, and that, I would argue, in itself is a very rich source of information, especially for those of us who are working academically, who want to pursue scientific publications and get the data out there, getting excited about our analysis because we have the feeling that we know what it means. But I think most of you will probably agree with me that it's still a little bit complex, and maybe we need to take some more efforts to synthesize it to a level that it can be easily understood by someone whose role is not primarily academic research, someone who has more managerial role. So there's a clear need to boil this down, all this data that we've seen, all the constructs, to something more synthetic. So we decided very early on in the project, actually, when we decided to submit this project, we said we would develop some appraisal tools, not just leave it at the level of scientific publications, but setting up something practical. And that causes some problems to us, as I'm going to allude to in a moment. And before I go there, I want to just briefly reflect on some of the key findings, and then the problem that we have with these findings in giving recommendations. Then I want to touch on a literature review on the effectiveness of quality management strategies, and I will tell you in a moment why we did that at this stage, because usually it's something that you would expect at the early stage of the project. And then finally I will end on commenting on the Duke appraisal tools, the various tools that we have developed or are in the process of developing, and many of you who are here in the capacity of a country coordinator or hospital coordinator will certainly have an interest on these tools. Starting with some reflections. So we've seen in the morning, it's feasible to develop an indice on quality management systems. Cordler talked about it. We have come up with various indices, and the point was made that these could be used for self-assessment. I would agree with that, but we probably need to have a bit more discussion on how they can be used as a self-assessment. What does this kind of self-assessment tell us? A mean score is probably not very useful for someone who needs to change things on the ground, because you lose a bit of the face validity of what that means. So there needs to be a translation process here. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Then we've looked at quality management systems that are associated with various levels of culture. That again is an interesting finding in itself, but that led us to the discussion on the causal inference. But we also have seen, and that came out clearly in Rosa's presentation, is that there's a wide variation in the implementation of quality management strategies that are known to be effective, so that they're evidence-based, and patient-level outcomes, our clinical indicators. Again, another finding from Rosa's presentation was that where we addressed the effect of quality management systems on patient-level outcomes is that we found a weak effect of those elements of quality management systems that are distal to outcomes, far in the higher layers of the organization, and we found, broadly speaking, a strong and systematic effect of proximal quality management systems, so those systems and strategies that are very clear to clinical work, yet no pattern emerging with regard to patient involvement, and overall the robustness of the analysis is supported by the bias analysis. So I could conclude here and just say the Duke project offers a conceptual framework, a very comprehensive one, and empirical data on the implementation and effect of quality management strategies. Full stop, publish our papers, and start our get-together now and an early dinner. But the literature, if we think about Duke providing or generating evidence and assuming that evidence then influences someone's decision-making, the literature actually tells us it's not so straightforward. There's a whole literature, theories, and conceptual frameworks that address actually about what is evidence and how does evidence into practice. And I will touch on two points here. The first one is getting the evidence straight, and the second one is getting the evidence used. Now, getting the evidence straight, of course, you all know about Cochrane, who, if I paraphrase him, because of limited resources, only quality management strategies should be implemented that have proven to be effective in properly conducted evaluations. So I've added the quality management strategies here. That was not Archie's main concern. But he could have said that. And he would have argued we need experimental studies to prove the effect of these strategies. Now, we haven't done that. We have done a cross-sectional study. And Archibald Cochrane also set the basis for the development of the Cochrane Foundation. That is not only just looking at RCTs, but at summaries, reviews, and meta-analyses of experimental studies. So from that, the literature tells us if we want to give strong policy recommendations, we need to be cautious on what we consider evidence, how do we define evidence, and we shouldn't probably build strong policy recommendations based on one single study alone, even if we believe it's robust. Every study has limitations. So we decided to build our appraisal or our guidance documents on a range of evidence, not just on our study, on the data that we collected for the purpose of this study, in order to increase the causal inference, our internal validity, and also the generalizability of the results. Now, when I'm talking about getting the evidence straight or getting the evidence used, I mean the processes needed to facilitate evidence-informed decision-making, and we are well aware that quality management is not just printing out the latest meta-analysis from the Cochrane Library, and that changes practice. Now this doesn't happen. There's a lot of negotiation, micropolitics, many other competing priorities and activities taking place. So if we want to give guidance, we need to anticipate that and build knowledge translation strategies into this process. So these were just some reflections to bring us to a common understanding that we can't just simply report on our analysis and assume that this would be enough to change practice. And I'm not assuming that anything we're doing here changes practice, but we hope it could, and we're trying our best to make sure it can. So the second point then is, if we look at the issue of getting the evidence straight, we thought the best way of compiling evidence that could complement our findings was to do an overview of systematic reviews on the effectiveness of quality management strategies. Now, the literature is very broad on quality management on any given topic. Any systematic review of experimental studies would be way beyond the scope of this project, but systematic reviews, which are very high in the hierarchy of what is typically considered evidence, are very accessible and easily retrievable and manageable in number. So this is why we focus on this literature to complement our findings. And we came up with two research questions that mimic or that correspond to the overall aims of the project is, what is the evidence base for effectiveness of quality management, first? And secondly, what is the impact of contextual factors on the effectiveness? Now, the first one is what we saw in the data. We have addressed the links in our association analysis. The second one is something that we haven't collected data on specifically, but something that can be retrieved from the literature to complement our findings. Now, for this review, we went through normal review process, so it was rigorously built with double reviewers, search strategy across multiple databases, selection criteria, quality assessment using a bias assessment tool, and so forth. And in our search strategy, we searched for those strategies that are embedded in our measurement instruments. And it's nothing new. Actually, we did part of this review when we start developing our measure. We're just updating that now in a more comprehensive manner. So these are some of the strategies. It's not exhaustive, but basically most of the key quality improvement or management strategies. There's evidence in the literature, and we've looked for that evidence. And these are the preliminary results so far of the review. I need to thank Dion Kringos, who has done a lot of work on the review. So we started with about 6,000 studies identified in the literature. We reviewed 4,500 abstracts, and so far have identified about 80 studies for full text review. So these are all systematic reviews on the effectiveness of one or another quality strategy. And I'm going to tell you in a moment how we're going to use that to complement the Duke results. Now, just one example, audit and feedback is a very well-known quality strategy. We found 7 systematic reviews on this topic, and it shows you that there are different studies mostly showing a small to modest but systematically positive association between engaging in audit and feedback and improving. But in addition to that, and we could find something similar in the Duke data, but in addition to that, we can retrieve from the literature things like actually the effectiveness is much higher when your level of baseline is low or when you're receiving the feedback from a colleague or a supervisor. That's something that we can't directly refer or infer from our Duke findings. So this is a useful addition to what we can identify or infer from the empirical data. This is just one example, and we've seen that for the quality strategies that we searched, the evidence base is not homogeneous. Some strategies like audit and feedback, we found 7 systematic reviews, others have much less, so the evidence base is, differs, but also the robustness of the evidence. Some the audit and feedback literature is full of experimental studies, so there's a very good understanding of this small but modest and systematic impact of audit and feedback. We've also seen in our Duke data that the results are not always 100% consistent across the departments or across indicators. Now, ideally, in an ideal world, you find this consistency, but actually our findings resonate quite well with the literature. There are few studies that found this perfect impact of quality strategies. And another thing that struck my mind when I read through these abstracts and texts is that most of the discussion ends, we need a better understanding of the theoretical and conceptual issues in order to drive this forward. And I think in the Duke project we have built a very strong conceptual framework and have populated that with our constructs and data. So this is just a little bit on the literature review, and don't worry, it will all come together in the end. So now, talking about the design of the appraisal tools. So we start with the Duke data and accept it. I hope that we should build our guidance on more than just the Duke data, and I've shown you some of the results from the literature review, and we're in the process of harvesting all that information. Now, how do we put it all together in the design of our appraisal tools? Well, this is a very beautiful photo, and it shows you that you're at a crossroad, and if you want to give guidance to someone, guidance means getting somewhere. Last night I got lost and I asked for guidance, and what helped me most is trying to know where I was, and I saw my position on a map. So once I knew where I was, I could figure out where to go, and I think this is one of the strengths already of the Duke project. The baseline assessment, the descriptive statistics, I think for many of us who are working at the coalface are very informative. They help us to identify, to target priorities, to target where performance is low. So this in itself, I would argue, is a very strong output of the project, which we don't necessarily call guidance, but certainly adds to that. So this is our statistics, which will be summarized in our scientific publications, policy briefs, and reports. Then a second sort of guidance that we want to give, and that was the one that was requested by the country coordinators, is benchmarking. Knowing where you are is good, but knowing how you compare to others is even better. So we developed for those hospitals that contributed to the project an interactive web platform where they can benchmark their performance with others. But then that leads to the question, what about the other hospitals? I don't know how many hospitals are there in Europe, 15,000 or so. We have roughly 200 in our study, so there's a little gap here. What do we give to them? Is there any interest out there? Is there any demand for further information? And why we would agree that not all hospitals will be crazy to getting engaged and perusing the data. There will be people that are interested. There will be interested managers, interested parties who want to take this further. So we thought about building a self-assessment tool that would help hospitals identifying where they are on the journey to quality and derive from this self-assessment some clues on where to go next. And then in the last step, we take our literature review on the one hand, we take our Duke findings on the baseline and association analysis, and we bring that together with the self-assessment to provide further guidance on where to go. Now this is at the theoretical and conceptual level. So how do we do that? First, the Duke benchmarking platform. This was developed in collaboration with our partner, Dr. Foster Intelligence in the UK. For those of you that are hospital and country coordinators, it's actually running, it's live, and you will receive access codes in the next week, so that after the holidays, you can start the new year with a reflection on the performance indicators. So there's a login screen, conditions of use, and then you log in here, you get a little dashboard of four domains. The first one addressing the governance and the quality management, second one the clinical indicators, the third one the patient involvement measures, and then the last one mortality outcomes. Now the last one is the only one that is not live yet. This is being worked on, will hopefully go live within a week. So once you click on one of these areas, for example patient involvement, you get an overview on the NORPEC scale. This is the patient experience measure. You can see it here repeated for the four departments, hip fracture, or four conditions, hip, stroke, AMI, and deliveries. And it shows you where you are on this measure, how you compare to your peer group, how do you compare to people in your country. And you can actually tweak that. Here there's a little field. I don't know if you can see that. Sorry. Doesn't work. Anyway, you can select the peer groups yourself if you want. If you are manager of a university hospital and you want to compare yourself to a university hospital, you can do that here. And then the final bit that is embedded in the benchmarking is a final plot on your mortality data. Remember, the mortality data is based on the hospital administrative data, so we have that for the large set of hospitals in the Duke study. And this is just a mock-up graph, but something similar will be in the platform within a week, where you can identify your mortality rate, well, not your mortality rate, the mortality rate of your hospital. We wouldn't do anything like that. So the mortality rate of your hospital, compared or plotted by the volume of the hospital compared to the rest of the hospital, and see whether that is within the limits of what you expect. So this is basically what we've been up for with regard to the benchmarking platform. I'm coming back to that in a moment. Now, we can't build this system for all hospitals in Europe. That requires a commercial company. We've done it for the small sample of hospitals in our country, in our study. But we plan to develop a self-assessment tool which can be used by anyone who has an interest. And think again about the quality improvement strategies that we investigated and that after careful and nuanced interpretation, we believe to be the strongest predictors of organization performance. If we then complement our review of the literature with our findings, we will gain a very good understanding on what are the key strategies that are related with outcomes, and we will be able to give, well, to reasonably strongly support these strategies as being relevant. So it's not just based on one study, it will bring together the rest of data from Duke and the literature. So assume that in the end we say there are actually five dimensions you should look up. Not these many scores, it's just an example, it's hypothetical. But if at the end of the project, in a few months, we believe that actually you should have information system to facilitate decision making, you should have systems of order and feedback, you should have patient safety procedures. Now if we build that together based on our questionnaires with a few items behind each of these topics, then you could use that web frame to enter your details, then get the graph to show you how you're doing. So it's not rocket science. This is actually, we have to say, the science will actually stop, the research will stop. This is now trying to pull this together to make it relevant for those that have to run a busy organization. So assume you're hospital A here. You could then see you're doing reasonably well on a number of dimensions. But if you're hospital B here, for example, you see you're pretty bad on order and feedback. But knowing the literature suggesting that this is relevant, this would be a clue for action, I would argue. Now, and then in the next step, we could say, so what do I do then? I know that I'm not doing well on all the feedback, so what is the next step? And this is where our literature review again comes in. We will have summarized all the systematic reviews. We have compiled them in a sort of matrix where we describe what is actually in a strategy, how is it defined, what are the key elements of that strategy. Then we will summarize in the second column what is actually the effectiveness based on the combined pooled results in the literature, and here we'll bring in the Cochrane reviews, if they exist, other meta-analysis, and all the literature. We will make a selection, though, since this is a management tool. We don't try to be exhaustive and list every little detail and every little study. We will be selective here and cover the studies that are strongest in impact. And then, in the last column, we will identify some of the context or clues for action that will help people on the ground take it a little bit further rather than just knowing that something is now 2.3% effective. That's not enough. We need to know, actually, order and feedback, what mediates the effectiveness of order and feedback. We know that from the literature, for example, if current baseline performance is low, then it might be very effective. If feedback is given by a supervisor, in particular in written format, it's very effective. So we can take this information from the literature and then help those that are using the self-assessment to know where they are and then give some guidance on where to go. So I hope that in the end it will become apparent how this can all come together. We have on the top all the empirical work, not just empirical, the conceptual work on the design of the constructs and the empirical work on data collection analysis. And I've argued that we shouldn't just use this single source of information. So we have broadened that. We have reviewed the literature very broadly to cover the key quality strategies to identify what is known to be effective and what shapes effectiveness. And then we've developed the benchmarking platform, and we plan to do something similar for other hospitals, a self-assessment tool, so that you can identify where you are on the roadmap to quality and identify some of the steps to take that further. So concluding remarks. Well, actually, I think I've said all that. The Duke guidance includes these different things, and this corresponds to getting the evidence straight. So we pool multiple sources of evidence. And then we've made a conscientious effort to think about how to get it into practice. And I'm not boring you with all the theories, but I think in practice, giving people something to work with, able to contextualize it to your context, is the key to make that being used. And I think this morning was also said, because I focus very much on the tool and on data and how it can be used, but a very wise man, which is Avidus Sonobelian, said something very important about quality management. And actually, doing a systematic review is always very interesting. You're looking for something, but then you find something else. And I remember having read this article years ago, but I read it again in a few weeks ago. And it's actually an article written after the closing conference at the ISCOR conference in Jerusalem. And Avedis Sonnabedian was asked to reflect on the effectiveness of quality management strategies, so 15 years ago. And he concludes with this: to my mind, the most important single condition for success is the determination to make it work. And if we're truly committed to quality, everything will work. From a project perspective, we can't add a lot to that. We can only give the data, we can give the tools, but this is where our responsibility must end. We hand it over to those that are taking decisions, and then we hope that that what we did here is useful to improve the take-up of quality management. And I'm going to finish on this point. Thank you very much.